You know, they describe the John here in the book of Revelation, describes the reality of union with God by a massive number, billions maybe, of people as a city. And then says two things about that city. One, it's the bride of the Lamb. And the other is that it's founded on the 12 apostles. Now that's amazing, isn't it? There's been no other human institution that's lasted 2,000 years. Ever. Way back, we only can guess because we don't have good data, but there were some kingdoms, especially in the Middle East, that seemed to have lasted for about 1,000 years. And that was remarkable. The church lasts 2,000 years and will continue to last until the Lord comes back to end history. Now, how do you build something so strong, a human reality, that lasts 2,000 years? I was thinking, you know, there have been great saints who have begun things that have lasted. Saint Benedict, 6th century, and there are still Benedictines living according to the rule of Saint Benedict. Now they're divided, there's Benedictines and Cistercians, but it's still going on. Why? You see, what is the quality of a founder, particularly a founder of the church? See, holiness. Holiness. And the charism of being able to impart that. We all live by the preaching of the apostles. They found the church. Now, Jesus is, of course, the whole cornerstone. He's it. But his body is the church. And the church was made by the apostles. Of course, anointed and empowered. But just think, you know, they lasted. So you've got the Benedictines, you've got the Franciscans and the Dominicans and the Jesuits. They're kind of new to the game. They're only 16th century. But they're still around. Now, how do you build something like that to last? First, it has to be a blessing to God's people. Then God will preserve it. You see? If it's not, it won't last. Now, what does that say, you know, about us? About those of us here who are members of Mother of God community? How long is it going to last? It depends on our holiness. And through our holiness, and, you know, transmitting to others the ethos, the spirit, the founding grace of the community. Communities come and go. Orders of nuns come and go. I can't remember them all now, but three things God doesn't know. The first is what a Franciscan is going to preach on tomorrow. The second is how many orders of nuns there are. And I forgot what the third one is now. But I just was struck, you see, here's this man with a vision, and he's trying to describe eternal life, the fulfillment of God's plan. Millions and millions of people there. More than anyone can count. And then to describe it, you see, he describes it as a city. Because, especially in antiquity, the city was the place of life, of culture, of friendship, of interaction, of marriage and giving in marriage. It was the city. The wall of the city just represents its stability. Because it doesn't have to defend itself like cities on earth. So it's not for that reason that there's a wall. But it's to that reality of the church, you see, is founded on these 12 men. And of course, below that, see, is the foundation, who is Christ. Now, isn't it just amazing? You see, when the gospel is preached, something lasts. And so, and not only preached, you see, but preached by people who have been transformed by the gospel. We can be loyal to the gospel, which is a good thing. Are we transformed by the gospel? Has it transformed us? Are we saints? If we're saints, Mother of God's community will last. If we're not, it won't. It's that simple. And so you see, this is a blessing. The charismatic renewal will last because basically all it is an experiential faith, you know, and it's katholikon, it's universal. So it can transmute into many different forms. But it just struck me, you see, what it would be like to be considered one of the 12 foundations of the eternal life of the church. And who were these men? You see, most of them nondescript until Jesus called them. Now we did have today text about Nathanael. As you just heard, Nathanael, maybe he's Bartholomew. We don't even know that, you know. Maybe he is. But we know one thing, that there were 12 men chosen by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and upon them he built his church. And one of them, you are Peter. And the foundation stone of the whole church is Peter. So what does Satan do? He tries to divide the church. That's the way you win. You divide. So we pray, hopefully, every day for the unity of the church. There are something like 7,500 Christian sects, to say nothing of the big Roman Catholic and then the various Orthodox churches. Who get along or don't get along, depends on which one you're talking about. In other words, God made sure that the 12 men with which he started the church were all saints, and all but one were martyrs. And he built the church on that. And here it is, 2,000 years and something, still going. The oldest human institution in the world. But what keeps it stable is holiness. We don't know. Of course, the people who preach and do good works are very important. But where are the saints? They must be around, or the whole thing would collapse. We get news of some of them. And we put their list in the canon. We don't read that list now because it's over a million, I bet. But they are canonized. By popular acclaim, and now that's all organized better, by the Roman pontiff. It just occurred to me as I was, you see, reflecting on this morning. How about a family? How long is that going to last? How about you? How are you going to last? I don't mean how last in this earth. You have a pretty good idea what that's going to be. You know, but foundation, stability, comes from transformation into Christ. That's where it comes from. All right. So, I just want to say one thing about this other. You see, first place, Nathanael. We figure out probably he's the man we put today, you know, Bartholomew. Probably right. But it's wonderful, isn't it? The fragility of human nature, we don't even know whether we got the right guy or not. It's all right. When our Lord saw him, what did he say? Here is a true child of Israel in this translation. Behold, a true Israelite in whom there is no guile. Well, now, if you look through the Bible, who is guileless? If you look at Psalm 32, the first two verses, it said, blessed is the man. Then it goes through, you see, who walks this way and does this. And the last one, these three are acquirements, you know, things acquired. But the fourth one is a quality. And there is no guile in them. There is no duplicity in them. How can that be? How can there be no duplicity in someone? Only if they know they are forgiven. If they're really forgiven by God, they got nothing to hide. The rest of us are liars, more or less. But if we will pursue union with Jesus, tell him, you're everything I want. I don't care what else happens. This is what I want. Then you'll be without guile. You got nothing to hide. Nathaniel must have been that kind of a fella. You know? He had nothing to hide. He wasn't sinless, but he was repenting for all his sins. And so, there is a real Israelite. There's one without guile. There's some powerful things in these readings this morning, and I have to let you go, so I'm going to stop. But what is the church? The church is the gathering of the saints at the bottom and everybody else who tries to get on the bandwagon. And he'll take us, you know. And if we're not finished, he's got a place to finish, you know, purify us. But he's saying to us, I think in really deep way, I can make you a saint if you'll just yield to me. I haven't done all this for you, put you in the charismatic renewal, which is the revival of my church. You know, taught you the gospel, gave you brethren, freed you from persecution until now. You know, if you want to be a saint, just give your life to me.